is great, and take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. I usually begin my sermons with a joke, and sometimes people wonder, why do you do that? And the reason is because we live in a world, and 6 days a week we are in a world that is many times devoid of joy. Sometimes we come into church and we bring with us the problems that we've had during the week, and so I think sometimes it's helpful to just kind of have a moment of levity and perhaps to take our minds off of the week past and be able to focus more on the Word of God as we hear it on Sundays. And so, you know, I find joy in lots of different places. You know, I saw an advertisement, a lost and found ad, which said this. It said, lost dog, brown fur, some missing due to mange, blind in one eye, three legs, slightly arthritic, goes by the name of Lucky. Well, you're lucky today because I'm full of joy. And I want to talk about joy because this is really Rejoicing Sunday in the church calendar. And you might wonder, why can I be so full of joy during this pandemic and during all the political unrest that's going on? You may wonder to yourself, how can you be full of joy at this time? I went through the scriptures and looked at all the different passages that talked about joy. And so I wanted to kind of go through some of those with you because I think they have a key to how we can have more joy during this time. So if you wouldn't mind getting out of your bulletin the insert that I put in there related to how to have more joy. And as we look at that particular insert, I want to start out with the definition of joy. Biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with an inner contentment and a satisfaction because we know that God will take these experiences, we use these experiences to accomplish His work in and through our lives. So joy is a choice, but it comes from God. Joy is something that comes to us from God. And it's not something that we quaff up or that we try to create in ourselves, but it's something really that is attached to God. In fact, Paul describes joy as one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. I like what Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy comes from the Lord. This means that if we want to have real joy in our lives, we have to have a connection to, a relationship with the Lord, the source of joy. One of the other ways that we connect with the Lord is through worship. And as Christians, we find that the church building is not only a safe harbor from the world of turmoil, but also a place where we often feel closer to God. David in the Old Testament knew the importance of worshiping in the house of the Lord. He said this in Psalm 122. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In Ezra chapter 3 verse 11, we see that joy is found in the ability to have a house of the Lord to go to. And he says, and all the people gave a great shout and praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. So these older priests and Levites were just so overwhelmed with joy at the building of a new temple that they were moved to tears in reality. In Joshua chapter 22, we see that the altar is the focal point of the house of the Lord. It says, that is why we said, let us get ready and build an altar, but not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. Only on the contrary, it is to be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow, that we will worship the Lord at His sanctuary with our burnt offerings and sacrifices and fellowship offerings. So we worship the Lord, and the altar helps us to remember not the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, but to remember the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on the altar of the cross. And so as we come together to worship, we see that the altar is the focal point of our worship. It's not the pulpit, it's not the a stage that's set up like a theater, but rather it is the altar that reminds us of the many generations of Christians that have gone before us and those that will come after us. When we rejoice to have a house of God to go to, then it's important for us to have to do some things to open the door for joy to come into our hearts. And it's important to realize, first of all, that God wants us to have joy. Sometimes we don't think that God wants us to be happy at all or to have joy. And the wise theologian, the late Irma Bombeck, reported an experience that she had when she went to church one time. There was a mother with her 5-year-old son sitting a couple of rows ahead of her. The son was squirming around and not able to stand still. He got up on his knees and began to turn around and smile at the people behind him. And his mother caught him doing that, and she whispered to him in kind of a rather loud voice, stop that smiling. Don't you realize we're in church? Well, listen to what Psalm 100 verses 1 through 2 says. Shout to the Lord, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So the Lord wants us to be filled with joy as we come into his presence each Sunday. There was a guy who visited an Anglican church one time. He wasn't an Anglican. In fact, he'd never been to an Anglican type of church. And so he got in there and he began to hear the liturgy and he began to get excited. He began to be joyful at what he was reading. And all of a sudden in the middle of the service, he shouted out, "Praise the Lord!" And everybody just looked around, and the usher came down and he said, "Sir, we don't do that here." And he said, "But I have the joy of the Lord." And he said, "Well, you didn't get it here, sir, that's for sure." It's important for us to realize that God wants us to have joy as we come into his presence. Another thing we can do to open ourselves up to the joy of the Lord is to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Ezra foreshadows this joy when he recounts the celebration of the festival of unleavened bread. In Ezra chapter 6, verse 22, we read these words. "For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." We're currently receiving the unleavened bread at communion as our Eucharist today, and I'm reminded as we do that of an occasion where Jesus appeared to his disciples, to a couple of disciples after his resurrection, and they invited him to their house, and when they were there, it said that Jesus broke the bread in front of them, and they recognized that it was Jesus. Evidently, they had remembered how Jesus had broken the bread on another occasion when he celebrated the Passover meal or whatever it may be, and so they recognized that it was Jesus. And I believe that as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist together, then our eyes can be open to the reality of the presence of Jesus in our lives as we do that. Still, another thing that we can do to bring joy in our hearts is by the things we sing and say at the Eucharist. As we read through these beautiful words that we have in our liturgy, that can really cause us to have a sense of joy that we might not realize was there. Listen to what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 40 to 43. "The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with all the half the officials, as well as the priests," and he lists all the priests there. And then the choir sang under the direction of Jezreiah, "And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away." So we can be filled with joy as we sing the words of this liturgy, whether we recite them or sing them in terms of our voices. And I believe as we sing to the Lord, we can be filled with joy as well. I look forward to the day when our choir can again sing anthems in our later service. But until then, we have to just continue to do with what we've been doing at the 10:30 service. Still another way that we can open ourselves up to joy is by our giving. St. Paul describes the Macedonian church in this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "And now, brothers and sisters," he says, "we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." So giving can open the door for joy to come into our hearts as we realize that our giving makes a difference and as we realize that it can bring joy to others as they see how they are blessed as well through our giving. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14 to 18, it says this, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." You might recognize that as what we say in the Eucharist when we say, "All things come from you, and from your own have we given you." Verse 15, "We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all the abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." Many times there's great joy in the church when an unexpected and generous gift is given to the congregation, because it raises the faith of the congregation to realize that God can provide for the needs of his church in amazing ways. There are other things that we can do to open the door for joy to come into us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 39 to 40, it says, "The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also their neighbors from far away, as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, olive oil, cattle, and sheep, for there was joy in Israel." So we see that the gathering of family and friends can really be a source of great joy. We're in a situation now where we're not as able to gather together with family and friends as we have been in the past. And so we're finding, many people are finding that is affecting them not only spiritually but also emotionally, because we don't have that connection with one another that we long for. So perhaps our prayer should be that God brings an end to this pandemic in a way that will allow us to come back together again on a more regular basis and encourage one another with that. Philemon chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us is in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because your brother have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." So we see that as we share our love with one another, that opens the door for joy to come into our hearts. There's just something joyful about giving of ourselves to someone else, of helping them, of doing something for their benefit. It brings great joy to us. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Holidays and other special occasions can bring us joy as we gather together, enjoying what the Lord has given us, and even helping those in need by maybe inviting them to be with us as well. Now again, we're not so much able to do that as much right now, but I remember when I was first ordained as a deacon, I was a single guy, and members of the congregation would invite me to come and celebrate Christmas and Easter with them. It was a time of great joy as they reached out to me and brought me into their family, because I didn't have any family around at that time. So it can be a joyous occasion to not only gather together on holidays and special occasions, but also to perhaps include others who don't have that opportunity. We don't often think that joy can come to us through the reading and studying of Scripture, but listen to what David says in Psalm 19. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Keeping God's law can bring joy to our hearts. There may be religious people who are joyless, but if so, it's a sure sign that they don't understand the laws that they think that they're keeping. God's laws are really instructions on the bottle. They're really an owner's manual given to us by God, who has designed us in a way that we can use his gifts to the best advantage in our lives. We may fail at times to keep God's laws, but only a fool doesn't care about them. we are walking in when we are walking in obedience, there is an inner joy of knowing that we are working with God and not against Him. We can also open ourselves up to joy by reflecting on the victory that Jesus has won for us over sin, over trials in our life, over death. Psalm 21 says this, "The king rejoices in your strength. Lord, how great is his joy in the victories you give." So Jesus can give us victories over sin, over trials, over disease, over various things, and that can cause great joy to come into our hearts as well. When we reflect upon the love that God has for us, that can also be a source of joy for us. That's what David did in Psalm 90, verse 14. "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." So as we reflect upon the love that God has for us, that can cause us to have great joy as well. There may be some here who may feel like that their joy has been taken away from them because they've lost their loved one. And when I go through grief in my life and I look to God, I ask that He give me a new purpose and a new hope resulting in joy. And that's exactly what David did. David, if you might remember, lost a child in infancy. And yet he wrote these words in Psalm 30, verse 11 to 12. "You turned my wailing into dancing, you removed my sackcloth, and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." Sometimes we think that God doesn't want us to have joy when we lose a loved one or when we have a loss in our life. But that's not what David was thinking, even though he suffered many losses in his life. Joy can come also from remembering what God has done for us and for others. Psalm 92 says, "For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done." Laughter can also bring us joy. Psalm 126, verses 1 through 3. "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Another source of joy in us can be the salvation that we've received through Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 through 3 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." When we come to know Jesus Christ, God puts the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is described as a well of living water within us. In fact, that's what Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. "On the last greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" And so when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, we have a river of everlasting life bubbling up within us and seeking to overflow from us. And that's what Acts 13, verse 52 talks about when it says the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the joy of the Lord. That's what comes with the filling of the Spirit. The reality of everlasting life awaits us and can bring us great joy. Isaiah 51:11 says, "Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be a crown over their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." This is talking about the new Jerusalem, the new Zion that will be coming when Christ turns all things new again. Not in your bulletin, there's another passage in Psalm 16, that says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So we have joy as we look forward to the day and we will be with the Lord forever in his presence. In our lesson from Thessalonians today, Paul tells us to rejoice always, to pray continually. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul echoes that when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so as we pray and as we give thanks to God, we can open ourselves up then to the joy of the Lord as well. And that brings me back to what I said at the beginning of my sermon, when I said that the joy that we are seeking is the joy that comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When I speak about joy, I'm speaking about a joy that can be given to us even in the midst of pandemics, even in the midst of trials, suffering, disease, and the other challenges to our faith. I want to conclude with a prayer today, and that prayer then will be followed by a blessing that we find in Romans chapter 15 by Paul. So let us pray. Lord, we live in a world that seeks to take our joy away from us, and it's so easy to think that joy is not meant for us, that we are not meant to be happy in our lives, we're not meant to have the joy of the Lord. And yet, you promise to give us that joy as we seek you, as we seek your word, as we follow some of the other things that I've suggested today, Lord. Would you fill our hearts with your joy? Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might have that constant river of living water bubbling up within us and overflowing in joy to others around us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to live a joyful life, and so that others might see your joy shining through us and be inspired to put their faith in you. And now, as Paul prayed, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.